If you have your Bibles, I'll invite your attention over to the book of James, chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 14 through 17. It says there, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." This morning I want to talk to you a little while about dead faith. You know, ever since I was a little boy, my dad has told me that he was a con artist or a contractor. And the reason he makes that joke is because when he gets ready to go and try to sell a building to someone who is wanting to do business with him, he has to persuade them that he is the guy who can do it. He has to use convincing and persuasive words so that he sells himself to these people, so that they trust him enough to hire him to build a building. You know, dead faith somewhat reminds me of people who just use persuasive words. Someone with dead faith simply talks themselves up as a Christian, but deep down and deep inside, they may know a few verses and they may can talk about the scriptures a little bit, but they don't ever show it with the works that they do. Again, let's read verses 15 and 16. It says, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" And I like what James uses here, because he's saying if you see someone, for instance, who's naked and they're cold and they're destitute of daily food, and you just tell them, "Hey man, I hope everything works out for you," but you don't do anything to help them, then what exactly are you doing today? You're no better than the people we often criticize in the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, people often ask me what one of my pet peeves is. And I'll tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves is stale chips. And the reason that is because when you walk into the kitchen or wherever you may be, and you open up a bag of chips or a can of Pringles, they look so good. And when you bite into them, they're stale and they're nasty and they're hard, and you want to spit it out. It's a nasty taste in your mouth. That's what someone with dead faith reminds me of. They're simply a stale chip. Someone with dead faith today is simply just an intellectual faith. In one's mind, he or she knows salvation, but they literally have never applied this to their life in order for true salvation. So we need to ask ourselves today, can this faith save? And it's plain and simple, it cannot. Dead faith will never save someone. And we have this faith if our walk does not measure up to our talk. We need to be aware today of an intellectual faith. As Warren Wiersbe once said, "No man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same any more than he can come into contact with a 220-volt wire and remain the same." I'll leave you with a verse from the book of 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Thank you.
As we close our service today, I want to leave you with just a few thoughts of encouragement that I think we can find from the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 1, we'll read through verse 6. It says there, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel.'" The prophet Jeremiah received this message from the Lord during a time in which the nation of Judah was just flagrantly disobeying and violating all of God's commandments. And what God was essentially telling the nation of Judah is that even in the wicked and rebellious state of sin that they were in, If they would humble themselves and they would give their life back to Him and obey Him, He could take them in the broken and marred state that they were in, just like a potter can take a marred and broken piece of clay and turn them into something magnificent and wonderful. And I want to tell you today, although this message was received from the Lord to Jeremiah approximately 600 years before the coming of Christ, I think all of us can find great comfort and hope in this thought of our Almighty God being a masterful potter who can take a broken piece of clay and turn it into something great. As we leave this meeting today and we carry on with our Christian lives back home where we all come from, I want all of us to realize and go home with this thought that we all have the potential, every single one of us, man and woman alike who are here in this room today, to be great servants in the kingdom of God if we will allow ourselves to be the clay in God's hands and allow God to be the Almighty Potter. I want to say first of all today, we must realize that we are the clay. You see, the problem with the nation of Judah so long ago that our text is based upon was that they were not willing to recognize their sinful state. On down in Jeremiah 18 and verse 12 it says, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. We will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." The first step in becoming a Christian today is making that decision. You humble yourself and you decide that you're going to surrender your life to Christ and you're going to obey the gospel plan of salvation and what God's Word teaches you to do. And I want to tell you, when you do this, this means that there's going to be some things in your life that you're going to have to give up. There might be some people you have to separate yourself from because they're not willing to stand up for the truth. We have to lay aside all the worldly things that thus so easily beset us and run the Christian race as Hebrews 4 and 12 instructs us to do. In Philippians 1 and 6, Paul writes, "Being confident of this very thing," I love this verse, it says, "that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And that leads me to what I talk about secondly today, and that is we must allow God to use us for His glory. I want to tell you, there's not a single person in this room today who can accomplish great things for God if they're willing to let Him shape you and mold you into something that He can use. We see in Matthew 4 and verse 19, Jesus calls just some common fisherman out of a boat one day to come and follow Me. And we know that this man went on to become the Apostle Peter, who preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel and started following Jesus. We see on down in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, where one of the most evil persecutors of the early church you could ever imagine, named Saul of Tarsus, decided to change his life one day and follow Jesus and allow God to use him. And he went on to convert countless souls and establish churches throughout the world. You see, these men and many, many more we could talk about had a hunger and a desire for truth. And they wanted to share this great truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with other souls. And so listen, I want to tell you this. I don't care what your past is like, where you come from, who you are, how far gone you think you may be. You may think that your past is so bad you can never be a Christian like all the other people in this room. Well, I want to tell you, there is no piece of clay today that is too marred and too broken for God to take to shape and mold into something great. And that's what I want to close with today by just simply saying God is a masterful potter. If you read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and then you think about the whole scheme of redemption from cover to cover in the Bible, we can read about how Jesus Christ came to this world to save you and me from our sins. And we realize that as we were formed from the dust of this earth, we will one day be resurrected to an incorruptible heavenly creature to reign with God in heaven for all of eternity. Literally go from dust to glory, being joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That sounds like a pretty cool creation to me. And that's something all of us can obtain today. That's something you and I can accomplish if we will realize what awaits for us at the end of this Christian life. And realize that the Christian life we live is worthwhile and let God be the potter in our lives. In conclusion, one of my all-time favorite songs that we are all familiar with and we sing from time to time says, "The potter took the clay and made a vessel. With his hand he put it in place. You could not see all the broken pieces and all the scars that the potter erased. For I am the clay, and he is the potter, and I know what I used to be. Yes, I know the hand of the potter, and I know what he's done for me." Now, I don't know about you today, but as for me, I know I'm still pretty rough around the edges. I have a lot of scars and broken pieces that if I'm ever going to be a vessel of value to God one day, I've got to allow Him to continue shaping and molding me. But you know what? I believe that through time and obedience to God's Word, I can accomplish that. And every single one of you here can too. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. I want to ask you today, how is it with you? Are you here today as a broken piece of clay? Maybe you're in pieces and you've never given your life to God and you don't have a relationship with Him. Well, I want to tell you today, if you'll come forward obeying the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, willing to repent of your past sins, publicly confess that you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, you can put yourself in God's hands as a piece of clay and allow Him to start shaping and molding you into a vessel of honor. Maybe you've taken those steps and you're here today, but maybe somewhere along the way you've received the scars and the mars in your clay, and you need shaping and molding back into what you wanted to become in the kingdom of God. Well, we can assist you today as well. If you have sin in your life and you would like the prayers of the church to be forgiven of these things, if there's one of either case, we bid you come forward at this time as we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary?